This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Program. I am currently here joined with Gordy, who's coming to us all the way from the Big Apple itself, New York. G'day, Gordy. How you doing?
Hello, I'm good. Yeah, thanks very much for having me. I am coming to you from a street somewhere in New York, having dinner with a friend because I am playing a show here tomorrow. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Very exciting stuff being over there. Have you been asked or told, hey, I'm walking it? Has that happened to you yet?
Oh yeah, that's a daily occurrence. I always have my phone, like my audio recording button ready, just in case I can sample it and put it in a track in the future. Hey, I'm walking here.
Yeah, classic. Has anyone confused you with the Serbian and Yugoslavic metal band, Gordy?
All the time, but the main people that confuse me are streaming services. So I think it's just been fixed. For the last 6 months, if you were to look on, Ty had released a record in the last few months and that I had put out an album cover with like four pretty serious looking white guys on the front. But it was for a while, especially in the beginning of my career, our Wikipedia pages kind of merged for a second. So the famous or infamous Yugoslavian heavy metal band Gordy and I were thought to be the same. Same artist, but hopefully, you know, the distinction can be relatively easily made.
We're here to talk about your new EP, Lunch at Dune. I want to know, if lunch is at Dune, where is breakfast and dinner?
That's a great question. Breakfast is always at home. I know this is like an unpopular opinion. I'm not a big brunch person. I like my breakfast to be the same every day. I'm a smoothie girl. So breakfast for me is always a smoothie and a coffee. Lunch, I like to obviously go to Dune, which is my favorite cafe in Los Angeles, and dinner, I like to mix it up. I do love to cook, but you know, I love eating out, and dinner is always a mystery, but breakfast is always a smoothie, is what I live by.
Having a consistent breakfast is one of the many keys to life, and I think lunch can be alternated, but yeah, dinner is always a surprise. I like that. Now, this new EP is kind of a partial collaboration between you and the Irish songwriter, singer, Sok, and on the cover of the single for Lunch at Dune, it's got you two in a cafe somewhere eating some kind of, not necessarily beige food, it's a yellow kind of food. I can't tell if it's spaghetti or pasta or fish and chips. Could you clear up that misconception there?
Yeah, so let me tell you what it is. So I had never actually met before, but we were internet friends. And I had been a fan of theirs for a long time. They won the Mercury Prize when they were like 14 or 15. And I had been to see them play in the church in Sydney all those years ago when they released the song Sea Creatures. And I said to them, would they sing on this song? They said, yeah. I flew to Dublin. Yeah, we did a day of like a music video, a day of a live video, and a day of walking around Dublin. Bridie and I drank a lot of Guinness, and we ended up at this place whose specialty dish was an Irish Chinese spice bag. And I'd seen these things all over TikTok and Instagram because they've kind of like gone huge in Sydney and Melbourne with the Irish population who's there. And yeah, we had this delicious snack, which is basically like fried chicken, chips, like a curry spice paste thing. Sometimes they're loaded with capsicum, which is like literally the only food that I don't like. But this one, fortunately, was not. And so we sat there absolutely smashing this MSG-loaded fried chicken chips thing. And the person, our friend who was with us, just like snapped a Polaroid of us eating this spice bag. And when we saw it, we were like, that's got to be the cover of the record.
I know that some of the work on this project was conceived in the pandemic. In particular, I think, on June. Was it just the title track or was it the whole thing?
Yeah, it was kind of the whole thing, really. Like, I mean, Lunch at Dune is obviously the kind of central track. And there's a couple of other versions of this track on the EP. There's like a bit of a remix I did and this, you know, a live version. And the song, I was kind of trapped in London at the start of the pandemic. It was February of 2020. And I was over there promoting my previous record, you know, doing press bits and pieces. And with every day, like just things were shutting down. And I was in this Airbnb like near Camden. And I just every day I was like refreshing Twitter being like, because that's where I got my news from at the time, I guess. I was like, you know, what's happening around the world? We're seeing the US is closing its borders. And I was also, you know, like talking to loved ones. And I just sort of felt this really stark comparison between like trials and tribulations of our everyday life and this crazy global event that was just like suddenly shutting down everything we knew to be like, you know, things that we relied upon, like travel or, you know, just like being able to leave our houses. And suddenly like all the day-to-day things felt really trivial and, you know, everything felt trivial. And so that was sort of, that's kind of the basis of Lunch at June, like the main line in the chorus is, you know, everything is fleeting except you and I. And I think that period really showed us that, you know, it came down to a few really consequential relationships in our lives. Couldn't leave the country, et cetera, et cetera. I think Australia and New Zealand were particularly affected in that sense, being islands. The rest of the record as well was sort of later in the pandemic, but I had this little studio spot in Melbourne and it was above a really busy main road. You can actually hear when you listen to Reverie, if you listen really carefully, you can hear the pigeons that were in the walls of the studio at the time, which every time I try to do a vocal take and I'd then like listen in really closely, you'd hear this like, but it was also just a, you know, a track about like grieving the things that were never going to happen that I had planned for that period, and grieving the kind of life that we all just, you know, took for granted. It was a bit of a pandemic record that feels like so long ago now, but that was kind of the period that I was in when I was writing these songs.
I wonder when the pandemic started, what kind of art will come out of this? And it's really fascinating to see how that's come about. You know, grieving the pandemic, grieving the pigeons, it's a whole thing. there's a really, really fascinating cover here you've done on the EP. You've done a cover of Apple by Charlie XCX. Fantastic stuff. Love Brat to Bits. But I want to know what, of all the tracks on Brat to do,
might say something
the kind
stupid
of melancholic vein, you know, especially when you have a track like... why did you choose to do Apple? And do you prefer the original version of Apple or the one on the remix album featuring Japanese House?
I had listened to Brat, you know, as much as everyone. I think Charlie XCX is a genius. I've been listening to the record and I was at my parents' place. My parents live on a farm outside of a tiny town in Australia of like 1,800 people. And I was sitting at my mum's piano and song had just been like everywhere. And so I just sort of started to play, you know, it's a not uncommon story for the children of immigrants to have such a different life from their parents. And that seems to be, you know, a central theme to that song. And as I really like looked at the lyrics, it's a really like beautiful and heartbreaking song. And, you know, in the classic Charlie style, it's sort of swept up in pretty like dance leaning production. And so when it was all stripped away and I just was playing some piano chords under it, I found it so meaningful. And it just gave me that, you know, that kind of pit of my stomach feeling where I thought this is really cool. And this feels really meaningful. And I just honestly put a snippet on social media, just of me singing it, and people, you know, seem to really connect with it. And I guess social media is the other universe these days where we sometimes live. And so I interacted with a lot of people about, you know, my cover of that song. And so then I thought, fuck it, I'll just go and record it myself. And I just did it in this tiny little room in LA in a day, like pumped out of my own version. And then it seemed to really, you know, resonate with people on these various platforms. And so I thought that I would put it out, and I was kind of working towards putting out this EP. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to tag it onto this other body of work because it feels like there's a nice kind of symmetry between some of it, and it seems like something that people are resonating with and want to hear. So yeah, I just put it out, and it was kind of just a happy accident, to be honest.
Nice, a very happy accident, a very happy accident indeed. There are two versions of the title track here. There's one called Castle at Bohemian version. with this label, are you referencing the Durmstown Castle, which is located in Bohemian?
Oh my god, I mean, maybe. Honestly, what I'm referencing is the Airbnb that we stayed in, which was basically a castle, which is like a classic experience in Ireland and the UK. Like, if you book an Airbnb in like some remote area, there's like, I reckon, a 50% chance that it's actually a castle that was once in use. And we found ourselves in this like amazing place that was just the Airbnb that we booked, and the people who owned it were so nice, and there was this whole other like section, and we said to them like, do you mind if we record some stuff in here? And they're like, yeah, for sure. So I got Bridie up from Dublin. It was like an hour outside. And we just recorded a version, like a live version that we just played on the spot in the kitchen of this place, which there'll be like a live, obviously there's a live audio version on the EP, and there's a video that comes with it that's going to come out as the EP comes out.
There's one more thing I want to touch on that's, I guess, tangential to the EP. You made Chris Martin cry recently by playing Longitudine on piano. Did his crying make you cry? And what would be your dream celebrity cry scenario?
The story is as random as it sounds. I'd just gotten back from America to Melbourne, and I got a text message saying, do you want to come and hang out with Chris Martin tonight? And I was like, this seems extremely scammy. But I said, okay. And I was told that there'd be like a few other artists there from Melbourne, and that we would show him unreleased music, like we'd play it from our phones or something. And so I like went along, honestly kind of filled with dread, because I was like, I hate the idea of just like sitting in a circle and trying to like, I don't know, what am I pitching myself to Chris Martin? Like, it just felt like a really weird vibe. But when I got there, he came in, he met everybody, and it was really lovely. He just like, he seems to want to connect with like local scenes in places that he tours. So he was touring in Melbourne, he wanted to meet local artists, he wanted to get a read on what the scene was like. And I was kind of so like, yeah, shocked by the whole situation. I sort of just sat in the corner quietly for most of the time. And then we kind of got towards the end and he said, you know, does anybody play the piano? And in a room full of seven artists, somehow I was the only artist who played the piano, thanks to my mom for forcing me to do it. And I got on the piano that was in the room and he said, oh, would you play me something? And I said, yeah, I'll play you a song called Longitudine that I just released. So I'm playing the song. Halfway through, I'm like, what the actual is happening? Chris Martin's sitting right here. I'm playing this song. I started to get really overcome with nerves. And I just tried to get a handle on myself. I just like shut my eyes, my left leg's like shaking dramatically. But I was like, I'm just going to power through to the end of the song. So I powered through all the way. And then I open my eyes at the end. I look up at him. He's looking at me and he's just got tears streaming out of his eyes. I felt so moved by that expression. Like, he's clearly, I think it's pretty amazing for someone who's been doing this for so long to still be so moved. You know, it says that he's really passionate about music and about finding that feeling that we're all, you know, searching for, especially as songwriters. And he said a lot of really nice stuff about the song, and it was a really nice moment of connection. And I walked away from the night because, you know, it ended basically pretty abruptly. Then I walked back to my car and I was like, I have not one scrap of photographic evidence that whole experience just happened. So I'm going to have to tell this story in a convincing way, which I guess I gave a solid attempt at on Instagram, and, you know, a million people have watched it now. So I guess I must have been, you know, convincing somewhat, or it's just a massive like lie that I've like really drummed up, and what a crazy story.
We'll never know. We'll never know unless Chris himself.
You'll never know.
But yeah, we'll never know. That's the beauty of life. I want to thank you for your time here. I just got two more things to ask, both very chill questions. Mm-hmm. Will there be more Gordy and Soak collaboration in 2025? And do you ever have maybe a New Zealand tour in mind?
I mean, look, I'll answer the second question first. I would love to tour New Zealand. It just kind of hasn't. I mean, the only time I've played in New Zealand, I opened for Sam Smith in Auckland. So like the only place I've played in Auckland is the stadium. But I would really, really like to play some shows in New Zealand. And I think we will plan them as soon as we, you know, feel that that people want to come. And as far as Soak goes, you know, Bridie is a great friend of mine now. So I definitely hope that this won't be the last of us collaborating together, whether it's in a recorded or a live setting.
I hope this isn't the last time that we have a chat. It was fantastic chatting with you. And good luck in New York.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you.
Oshka, that was my corridor that I had with Gordy about their new EP, Longitudine. We're going to play the Charlie XCX Apple cover from that EP very shortly.
I guess the apple don't fall far from the tree, cause I've been looking at you so long now, I only see me. I want to throw the apple into the sky, it feels like you never understand me, so I just want to try. The airport.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.